Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We're so grateful that you have tuned in. Today is Tea Party Day all over the country. We're hoping that you're coming out and you're joining some of the Tea Party rallies that's going on in your area. And today we're just so proud and excited to have some wonderful people with us today. We have got Ms. Dawn Wildman and Chaplain Gordon Klingensmith with us. Hi, Dawn. Hi, Chaplain.
Hi, Diana.
Hello, Diana. God bless you, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you both. I was just, Dawn, I had Chaplain on yesterday, and I've gotten mixed up, and I had forgotten that I wanted him to be on also with you today on Tax Day Tea Party Day. And it's just a thrill to have two defenders of freedom and honor like you and Chaplain, and we just count it a privilege. And listeners, please ask your friends and family throughout the country to come and learn with us. God has given us some awesome people who give of their precious time so they can share the knowledge. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So it's just really great to have this hour with a guest that God has gifted us. And these two are, I just believe, anointed for such a time as this. And first of all, Dawn, how are you doing today? I think I've already asked that. I'm sure you're very busy today with it being Tax Day. Tea party.
Absolutely, and we have events planned because of the tax day. The official tax day was changed to the 18th, which is Monday. That means we have a whole weekend of events happening all over the country, which is fabulous.
Can you tell us what's happening in your area or some of the major events that's and the nation?
Yes. So for California, we're having a huge statewide event tomorrow at Cal Expo, which is a giant fairgrounds. And the one of the highlights of it is that the organizers, NorCal Tea Party Patriots and Ginny Rapini and Patty Mickler, are having a freedom ride happen right before the beginning of our tea party. And so we're going to have over 1,000 motorcycles and their riders coming in with American flags, don't tread on me flags, you know, veteran flags that will encircle this horseshoe part of the arena. And we have a sky jumper who jumps out of a plane with a giant American flag and, you know, comes into the arena. We did this at 9/12 with this gentleman who jumps out of the planes with the flag. And I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. There is something truly just unbelievably beautiful to see a huge American flag blowing in the wind and just see it coming to you, coming right up against God's glory in the sky. It is just, I was surprised at how choking up I was about it at 9/12 last year, and I'm sure I'll have the same response because it's, you know, that's just an incredible sight. So that's what we're doing for our statewide event all around California. We have events that are being planned for today. Some are doing it tomorrow. For my tea party here in San Diego, we're having our event Monday night. So it really is just like this weekend of incredible events. It really helps, I think, draw it out. You know, it's not just one day and it's over. With having this happen across the nation and people pick in different days, it really will be a really fun, I think, weekend, and one filled with a lot of education and inspiration. So I just think this is great. It actually worked out really well for us, you know, that it happened this way, that they changed the date.
Wow. Well, I'm hearing in Alabama that they're going to have some, I think, tea parties today, so I was looking forward to our friend, Mr. Wayne Wood, but I don't see him on yet. But, Don, if you don't mind, for the new listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself in brief, because you've got such a long list of things you do. But anyway.
I wear a lot of hats, and they tend to be getting, you know, more of them. Well, first and foremost, I think the most important aspect of what I do is I have a tea party in San Diego, California, Southern California, and it's called SoCal Tax Revolt Coalition. I have several wonderful girlfriends that help me, you know, do the things that we do in San Diego for education. I'm a state coordinator for Tea Party Patriots. And I'm also a national coordinator for Tea Party Patriots. And then, you know, I do work for various socially conservative groups, Capital Resources here in California, which is phenomenally good at what they do, extremely effective, and on the front lines of so many of the issues that at Tea Party Patriots we don't generally take up because they're social issues. But to know that there are all these other conservative groups out there that work all the time on this, and being able to even bring more people, more volunteers to that, is fantastic. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I'm all places all the time, it seems like.
Well, God is good because he knew who he had need of to do this thing, and you answered the call. And, you know, also Chaplain Klingenschmidt that's on with us, and Don, you probably heard his story. A Navy chaplain that stood up for praying in Jesus' name, not to be put in a closet. You know, you can only pray in Jesus' name on certain days, and you certainly cannot do it at a memorial, you know, for one of your fallen soldiers. So chaplain made his stand, and I think, you know, all over the nation, it was like a rally cry. You know, who have we become? I mean, the nation that worships God, Jehovah God, that prays in Jesus' name is being told, your chaplains can no longer pray. And, you know, he won a victory because of his stand. But, again, the enemy's after that ability to pray in that powerful name of Jesus Christ. And, Chaplain, one of the things that I love that you're doing is you have formed, you know, a website, a ministry called Pray in Jesus' Name. The website is PrayInJesusName.org. And I was talking to you yesterday, and one of the things that really I just love that you're doing, because I'm all the time wondering, you know, will the military be just forgotten in the back burner? You know, there's so many things going on, and, you know, you hear the military, it's almost like they're being sacrificed. And don't ask, tell, it's one of those, the repeal, don't ask, don't tell. It's like they're the sacrificial lamb. And but you're taking a stand, and you want us to join you. So if you don't mind mentioning that and the other things that you're very concerned with.
Yes, Diana, thank you. And Dawn, thank you for your stand for liberty across America on this April 15th, Tax Day across America. And I'll be supporting the Tea Party events all weekend. Of course, there's rallies happening in Colorado and I'm sure all across America. Here's my contribution to the budget debate that was happening. Of course, everyone knows on my website we do social conservative issues. We do freedom of religious expression. We petition governments and we petition God to define marriage between one man and one woman, to protect the rights of unborn children from abortion. And in addition to that, we've been dabbling a little bit in the budget issues because America is at such a crisis now with a $14 trillion debt, which by May 14th will become illegal because it will surpass the $14.3 trillion debt limit. So Congress will either have to raise the debt limit or they will have to break the law by continuing to spend, as President Obama now proposes an annual budget every year of $1.6 trillion in spending that we don't have. So that adds on top of the debt. We've projected now in 12 years, even the new, you know, it's funny how the liberal media reports this. They came out and they said, oh, Obama made a speech and he said he's going to cut $4 trillion. He's not going to cut $4 trillion except from his own wish list. So what he's really going to do is triple the national debt in the next 12 years. It'll jump from $14 trillion up to about $29 trillion instead of $33 trillion. And the difference between $29 trillion and $33 trillion in the national debt is the $4 trillion that they're claiming is a cut. Nobody mentioned also that of the $4 trillion that Obama supposedly wants to cut, he's raising taxes by $3 trillion. So 75% of this man's solution is simply to raise our taxes. I don't think that's right. So we have been sending two special petitions to Congress, and you can find those on our website, prayinjesusname.com or .org. Either one will get you there. The petitions are, number one, to pass the balanced budget amendment. We are standing with Senator Jim DeMint and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and some of the conservative senators who we finally, the Tea Party, put in office this past election to demand that the Senate pass a balanced budget amendment. And because we delivered probably about 30,000 faxes now to Congress just on the balanced budget issue alone, the senators took a vote just about 2 weeks ago, a sense of the Senate resolution, and that it almost came within limits. 58 senators now support a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, although we need 67 to make that pass. So we're going to continue to fight for a balanced budget amendment. And the other item we're fighting for is the fair tax. President Obama's original demand with his proposed budget back in January, he wanted Congress to add 5,000 IRS agents to the budget, spend, you know, millions of dollars enhancing the IRS so that we could do more audits, so they could go after more Americans who are hardworking Americans. We do pay our taxes, so that Obama gives food stamps to the poor who don't pay any taxes. I mean, that's another issue. But we won that battle because we delivered probably, I'd say, another 20,000 petitions to Congress on the fair tax issue, to get rid of the federal income tax, to establish a national sales tax in its place, which would be fair to everybody. They dropped that provision in the latest budget compromise. Last Friday night, we got some good news out of Washington that Speaker John Boehner held his ground and refused to fund 5,000 new IRS agents. So that was a victory directly attributable to our petition campaign. Because people sign our petitions at prayinjesusname.org, we win these little victories, and we keep government off the backs of the American people. So, Dawn, I want to say I support you and what you're doing with the Tea Party movement. We have important fiscal responsibility petitions on our website, in addition to the social conservative issues. And I know the Tea Party would reciprocate and support me on some of these issues, like supporting the military, stopping the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, protecting the rights of the unborn, and protecting the rights of our military chaplains to pray in Jesus' name.
And that is so important, Chaplain. And we saw the petitions work last year in the election, because I think right there at the end, you sent out a petition really to move the pastors. You sent it to the churches, and evidently they did hear, because in the end we saw a spike. Things seem to really start changing. But it's going to take all of us to go to work at this, so we're just really happy with the work that you're doing, Chaplain. But the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, if you don't mind, tell Don about that particular petition, because I just really think that we need to press on with that one also.
Sure. There is a possibility now, because Congressman Duncan Hunter, Republican of San Diego, Jr., just like his father, stood for military chaplains and introduced a bill, H.R. 337, to delay and postpone implementation of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. And the way he would do that is to expand the certification requirement from 3 people to 7 people. Right now, the only people who have to certify that the military is ready to be homosexualized are the president, the secretary of defense, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But Congressman Hunter has a clever idea. He wants to expand that to also include the 4 service chiefs, the top general in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. And so if those 7 people had to sign off that the military is ready to be homosexualized, it might never happen, because the 4 top generals in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines all testified to Capitol Hill last year that the military is not ready. It's not good. It hurts unit cohesion, force open homosexual aggression upon our troops against their will. It hurts our effectiveness in wartime, and the military is just not ready for this. So we're praying that H.R. 337 gets passed, maybe inserted into the defense budget or the appropriations bill somehow, so that when it gets to the president's desk, he has to empower his 4 service chiefs to certify that this is ready. I think that's one way that we can protect military chaplains. Military chaplains are under fire, and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal implementation plan, it says twice on page 24 and on page 57, if a chaplain is unable to reconcile serving with or caring for gay and lesbian service members with his or her faith, the chaplain may request administrative separation under DOD instruction 1304.28. So the chaplain's given 2 bad choices: either reconcile with homosexual sin or self-terminate your career. Shape up or ship out. That's the way they're talking to chaplains right now. The training is going on all over America, around the world really, for all the military chaplains. And I don't think that's right. Chaplains need to be respected and protected, especially their right to preach the gospel of freedom from sin and quote the full counsel of God from the Bible without being persecuted or told that their career needs to end.
Well, Don, that sounds like that's coming from your side of the country right there.
Absolutely. And Duncan Hunter Jr. has been, just like his father, as the chaplain said, has been a huge boost for our military. San Diego is a military town, and one of the things that we noticed when Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up again, even as a subject in legislation, was that everybody was really confused in the sense that, and we are generally about a lot of this stuff, because you think having the crisis we do in our economy, especially in California, that this isn't even anything that should be on anybody's purview. But just to make add insult to injury, we know that these generals have said this is not good for our military's morale, period. And when we are not looking to the folks that we put in charge to take care of and keep safe, our young men and women, our daughters, our sons, our husbands, our wives, if we're not paying attention to them and listening to what they say is best for the men and women that serve under them, then I don't even understand why this is even up for discussion. It makes no sense to me. It is the typical action that we see from the left, which is all about special interest. It has nothing to do with somebody's right to anything. What it means, and we face this in California, up one side and down the other. We've got a bill right now that was introduced into our legislation to rewrite our school book, the text that your kids are reading in school and learning by, to rewrite them to highlight the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in history, and evidently we're supposed to be calling that out. And last time I looked, we weren't discussing, you know, Wilbur and Orville Wright and the fact that they were heterosexual. You know, we're not talking about Rosa Parks and what her sexuality was, or Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, none of this, it is so ludicrous, and it's an assault on every family. It's an assault on Christians, and the continued pushing of this just continues to make parents try to figure out a way to pull their kids out of these schools, frankly. But, you know, we're completely confused by a government that seems to be completely without any common sense or any ability to even remotely be concerned with the majority of the citizens in this country. It's not about...
They want to take away. Go ahead, Don.
So, you know, we face it all the time here. We thought Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the most ludicrous thing. Now here I have my nephew graduating from boot camp next week. And unfortunately, while they're in boot camp, you know, they're very isolated from anything that's happening. You know, they don't get news. They're not getting updates on anything. They don't have their cell phones, that sort of thing. And, of course, he knows what I do. So he was asking me in letters what was going on. And I thought, you know, I cannot tell you what is happening out here, especially with the way they held the military hostage for this government shutdown, and even begin to think that that will help your morale in boot camp. There's no way I'm going to do that. And
yeah.
I thought, so if I think this way about the fact that you're in boot camp, how do you think I'm going to feel when you go to Afghanistan or Libya or, you know, Iraq? Because, you know, here you are willing to put your life on the line for this country, and everybody that's in power wants to make sure it's the hardest thing you've ever done because of the morale. And my nephew was baptized. You know, he accepted Christ as his Savior while he was in boot camp. So to add insult to injury there, to, you know, offend him as a Christian. It's just unbelievable.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Hey.
Our co-host, Mr. Wayne Wood, joined us. Hi, Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, I was listening.
Hi, Mr. Wayne.
How you doing, Dawn? How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
All hanging in here. We're out doing farm work on the family farm there. I was sitting there in the middle of sawing a tree, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, the time, the radio show.
Come on.
But you guys know I've done that before, too, so.
The question I have for the chaplain is on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there's a couple things come to mind. As a retired disabled veteran, the thing that occurred to me was, and I haven't been able to find this, and I read the legislation, and I haven't been able to get a good answer to the question, but when they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I didn't see anywhere where they had changed the Army regulations saying homosexuality was incompatible with military service. When Bill Clinton imposed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he left the UCMJ intact. He just said the commanders couldn't do what he called a witch hunt looking for homosexuals, that if a homosexual could be quiet, discreet about their lifestyle, not get caught practicing it, they wouldn't be prosecuted. And so actually Don't Ask, Don't Tell was imposed as protection for homosexuals to prevent them from being, quote, persecuted, end quote. And so, in my mind, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell if that's all you did, you didn't legalize homosexuality in the military. You just repealed the protection homosexuals had from investigation. And I read the bill itself, and that's all it did was repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It didn't touch the UCMJ, and I'm not aware of any move within the military or Congress to amend the UCMJ to reflect that. But it seems like the military's totally ignoring that fact. Are you aware of anything, Chaplain, that I may not be aware of, because I am on the outside looking in?
Yes. The way they did it was the Democrats inserted sexual orientation as a protected class in the military recruiting. So the military could not, discriminate on the basis of religion or gender before, and now it's also on basis of sexual orientation. So if someone comes out and announces to the recruiter, "I'm a homosexual," that can no longer be a discriminating factor. Now, whether the UCMJ has changed with regards to the sodomy laws, sodomy is still a crime. But the problem is the training they're coming out with now, and they're directly quoting a Supreme Court precedent, probably Lawrence versus Texas, where it says that the sodomy laws are not constitutionally enforceable by courts because it would violate the quote-unquote right to privacy, which is nowhere in the Constitution. But the judges made this up. It was like a 5-4 decision to say that, well, we can't go snooping in people's bedrooms. So they can have sodomy behind closed doors. The problem is now the Marines are also allowing sodomy out in public. The training is specifically authorizing men to kiss men in the food court on the military base. If they're Marines, and the XO the commanding officer is not supposed to correct that. It's now they're not just doing private consensual sodomy. Now they're doing public sodomy is authorized, supposedly under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the commander's hands are tied as far as their ability to discipline that. It's really getting out of hand. They're violating the spirit of the Constitution. They're violating the letter of the UCMJ, and the way they're getting around this is to say that we can include sexual orientation as a protected class.
I was in the Army, and of course I was medically separated in 87. So when I was in the Army, we weren't, according to the UCMJ, allowed to show public affection except in special circumstances in uniform. Now, you're coming home from war, that's a different thing, but the idea of being in the PX someplace or the food court or whatever, that was a no-no. It was considered unmilitary conduct and at least frowned upon. But again, they've always granted special rights to the sodomites in the liberal world scheme of things, I guess. But it just, I don't know what's going to happen in military order and discipline. I mean, it just, the first sergeant holding hands with the company commander. I mean, it just...
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to the commander. The first commander who makes an on-the-spot correction and goes over to a homosexual couple who's kissing in the food court and says, "Hey, public displays of affection are not appropriate. You should not do that here." That commander is going to be brought up on a harassment complaint against the homosexual rights. They're going to file some kind of equal opportunity complaint. And they'll say, "Well, I was being oppressed because we have a right to, men have a right to kiss men in front of other Marines." And that commander now is, maybe he'll be exonerated by the military, but he will be paraded through the newspapers across America. The liberal media is going to pounce on that story and blow up that commander as if he is a homophobe just for trying to do his job, and that commander will never be promoted. That the liberal media is going to punish the Christian conservatives. That's why we have a petition on our website to protect Christian troops, not just chaplains' right to pray in Jesus' name, but Christian troops' right to express their view that homosexuality is a sin, and without being silenced by their commanders or their chain of command. If we put those protections into the UCMJ or put those into the next House Appropriations bill for the military, we can protect and defend those troops. Diana, I've already taken too much of your guest time. I
oh,
was already
no.
on today, so I'm going to let you guys go and continue to talk about tax day and everything that's going
well,
on.
Thank you, Chaplain.
Yes, God bless you
God
both,
bless
and
you.
God bless your listeners in Jesus' name.
We'll talk to you next month again, Chaplain. Well,
okay.
Don, we'll talk to you again next month, Chaplain. Well, Don, I think with this kind of Congress, there should be a good chance of that proposition by Duncan Hunter Jr. to pass, right?
Well, you hope so. Just like any other bill, our biggest problem is getting anything done in the Senate. You know, they're
right.
holding the Senate hostage, basically. So
yeah, then you have to get it past the White House. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're talking about a White House that was willing to not pay our military and to hold them hostage. So, you know, I just don't even understand
that. Well, Don, are the hearings that's going on, are there hearings still, or are the hearings over in regard to the military? I guess they're over. I think Chaplain said that yesterday, that the hearings are over. Okay.
Right.
So this is going to have to be a rally cry then, part of the rally cry for 2012. But I was thinking of what he was saying about the liberal media. And, you know, I'm hearing the things about net neutrality, and, you know, we're hearing about Glenn Beck and what's going on with him. Can you tell us what's going on with net neutrality, Don, and what we can do to help prevent them shutting down? You know, because it seems like the only way to get really good news is really going to be through the Internet, unless they shut it down.
Right. What we're doing is getting everybody to try to call their congressman, let them know. We're looking to see that some of these providers need to be doing basically in the United States what they've done in places like China. You know, they have no problem going to bat for making sure there is open access to the Internet and citizens have the right to information in China. But where are they now when it's actually the U.S. that is considering doing this? And frankly, we all know that some of the easiest stuff to really get attention drawn to it is by having the really big businesses, the Googles, the Yahoos, you know, that sort of thing, coming out and saying how much this is going to destroy, you know, what they do. You know, I think people are very resourceful, and I know there's a lot of people that think, you know, go ahead, do whatever you got to do. We're going to join together. We're still going to communicate. You can keep, you know, chopping down every part of the link of communication, but we're still going to do it. But the ability, and it's another one of those things where the juxtaposition of it seems so absolutely foolish. This is the same administration that would actually like to take every textbook out of the classroom and give your kid a computer to read textbooks online. So
make control what's online.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
You know, this is a direct assault on our First Amendment. You know, we saw in California when they were talking about having a tax on purchases made online for the state of California, Amazon had a cow about that one. Because they knew that people in California would stop purchasing stuff online. So,
well, you know,
they
moved out of Illinois because Illinois has done that.
Right.
They closed down operations in Illinois.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, our best hope beyond even getting our, you know, reaching out to our congressmen and our senators is, you know, I think we need to be reaching out to the providers and saying, you know, why are you not defending my absolute right here? I mean, your whole business is about communication and free speech. Where would you go? I mean, when I think about all, I laugh sometimes about the cottage industry that the Tea Party has helped come to fruition, and what places we've actually kept alive business-wise by the virtue of this movement being the way it is. And for a lot of people, if they couldn't, you think of a lot of those mom-and-pop places that do maybe seasonal stuff on the Internet, seasonal packaging and sending out and all that. Where does that go? You know, it's just like everything else this administration does. It is absolutely everything against what this country was founded on. and why it was founded on, and, you know, completely backwards. And, you know, you mentioned Russia earlier. Oh, yeah, hello. And not to mention we're talking about a day and age when newspapers are having a hard enough time to get anybody to actually purchase a paper newspaper because people get their news online. So now some of them are offering you a subscription online if you'll read their newspaper, blah, blah, blah. I mean, my own hometown newspaper looks like, you know, the coupon section. You know, there's three or four. Yeah, and a Sunday edition. Remember, the Sunday edition. Yeah, I mean, in the Sunday edition, you know, remember, used to be the big sick thing you got because it had all the junk mail and had all the coupons. Now it's like you get, you know, a few sections, very small sections, and then you have all the coupons, and you know, it's ridiculous.
I hate to say it. I'm one of those that only buys it on Sunday for coupons because I don't.
Absolutely.
Most of the things that's in there. But go ahead, Mr. Wayne. Sorry.
Our local newspaper, I used to subscribe to it back when I taught school, but I got tired of supporting an institution that consistently supported causes and politicians with whom I'm diametrically opposed and constantly insulted me in their editorials. Why should I subsidize that? It's the same reason why I quit the NEA my second, third year of teaching, because they're spending my money to endorse political candidates I don't endorse and to support causes which I find totally opposed to my core beliefs. And there's no such thing as changing them from the inside because the institution's built. That's why newspapers are going out of business. First off, we've got a barely literate society. By literate, I mean talking about people who don't like to read. Second, they're out of touch with their market. They're totally out of touch in a different world, and people have lost their trust in them because they've been found wrong so many times. I mean, look at the New York Times.
Chaplain, I'm sorry, Chaplain, Mr. Wayne, you sound like you're talking about somebody else. You sound to me like you're also talking about the president, because I'm thinking about this war in Libya. And, Don, that's going to be another rally cry. I'm thinking there's just going to be so many really rally cries. People should wake up. I mean, this war in Libya is costing us, and I'm sure y'all are shaking your head about that.
It's another one of those ironic moments in political history. You know, the first Obama, the candidate for president, you know, he was going to get us out of the war in Iraq and get us out of the war in Afghanistan. Not only hasn't he done those two, but let's add the trifecta of wars and get into a military action with Libya. You know, so if you put the crazies of the other two countries together, he's still not. They wouldn't be crazy as Muammar Gaddafi. So I look at those things as, and I think a lot of other people do, that, you know, it scares you to death because Muammar Gaddafi really is truly insane. But it's an also, how do you campaign on this? You know? All the stuff I promised you as a candidate, not only have I not done that, but I've actually made the situations worse. But you know what? The special interests that we had back in us, we're still buying into their stuff. We made sure all their stuff happened. We made sure that Obamacare happened, even though we lied through our teeth to get it done, you know. So,
The United Nations said to do this. So we got to follow them.
Well,
right?
And I think that's where Obama gets in trouble, because he painted himself as the Messiah who was everything to everyone, and he was above all this. Now, I wouldn't blame him for getting in there and finding out the situation's different. You know, it is different inside the Oval Office than from outside, and that's why politicians tend to break a lot of promises. You know, my grandfather told me not to make promises you can't keep. Well, politicians have to do that to get in office. But that's fine. But he was going to be something so much greater, so much better. The problem is he not only hasn't kept any promises, but he's failed to admit he was unable to keep those promises, and he is trying to claim that he's keeping those promises. And he expects people to believe this, and he's made one set of poor judgment calls after the other, and has made every situation worse, all the while he seems to be in denial that he's made those poor decisions and that he's made it worse. I don't know of one policy statement he's made that he hasn't reversed himself on, yet he refuses to reverse himself, to admit he's reversed himself on. I mean, even on the extension of the national debt, he voted against it. Well, now that may have, I regret making that vote now. No shame whatsoever. You know, he's like a dog that tries to steal a bone and then gets caught.
Well, this is, you know, to me, the hypocrisy is bar none, is and unlike anything I've ever seen in government. We've all seen government be, I mean, we assume it's, you know, the hypocrisy's there because, well, heck, we watch what they're doing. But, you know, one of the biggest things I think people are, that has drawn people also back in to start looking a little bit deeper, a little bit closer, and really kind of rang the bell for a lot of people was this deal about, you know, the lack thereof of the $100 billion that would get cut for the budget for 2011. And when, you know, Planned Parenthood was introduced as one of the writers, a lot of us here at Tea Partiers said, why would you even put that in? You know, that's one of those things they're going to go to the mat for. But the interesting thing was to find out that six different times Clinton signed the Title X wording for Planned Parenthood into law.
Yeah.
Senator Obama voted to do the same, and President Obama in 2009 did the same. So when is it that it actually started to disturb you to the point, and to call Planned Parenthood as a woman to say that this is hurting women's health about mammogram screenings, when we know that's not what they do, and they don't offer that service. But as a woman, it was so insulting to try to hold hostage and try to use the banter of the left and the messaging of the left. And that's the thing, I think, for a lot of people that polarized them when they found out this wording was, you know, a thing that nobody had any problems with until this. That's been one of the biggest eye-openers.
I think the Republicans threw that in as a bargaining chip. Yeah, I think that was just something to...
Yeah, it was a stupid move. Strategically, it was a stupid move anyway, because, you know, I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I certainly get that, you know, we know there are some things that no matter what, this is going to be the thing they highlight. You know what their pet projects, their special interests are.
But you know what I found interesting in that was that they felt that the Democrats felt Planned Parenthood was more important than our troops.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the message we're getting out. You have a president, a sitting president, commander-in-chief, that said he would not sign the standalone bill to pay our soldiers. No. So he held them hostage to this nasty deal, which nobody benefited from. The country certainly doesn't. So,
until we can get control of both houses of Congress, at least, and hopefully the White House, we're going to have to fight a series of small delaying actions and nasty little things like this to chip away.
Yeah, but my thought about it, too, is that for every one of these things they do that is so stupid, down to the point of having some senator come out and blame the Tea Party, which evidently he doesn't read like the rest of us as, oh, I don't know, the citizens of America – for their dirty dealing, every one of those things, as Obama's going to be back, he's already back on the campaign trail. Every one of these things, because now he has something he didn't have the first time around, which is a record. Hello, this is good for our side.
He's got a lot of baggage. He's got a lot of baggage on his back.
It is baggage.
Don, if I may ask, what? Can the House do something about this Libya mess? I mean, you know, I just think not that not that it's just a bad time for us to go to war. We don't have the money. But, you know, if you fund a war like this and you don't know who's going to take over once you can get rid of the guy, it's like you're in a continual mess. But is there anything that's going on in the House where they can – I heard something about he's going to ask for maybe supplemental later on. After all, you know, these things are costing $1 million, what, for every shot they fire, whatever
right.
bomb they drop. But is there anything going on in the House as far as invest, you know, a hearing and let's not give them more money later on?
Well, you know, our guy now that's big about the investigations is ISA, and I don't doubt that they're planning that. Every move, I think the unfortunate thing for us and for our side, which has always been the case, and it's no different since the Tea Party, is we try to measure, is this the distraction? Because we know that typically they do something that will distract you from the even more heinous thing they're doing while you're distracted.
That's right.
So I think for a lot of people, the greatest thing that we can do is educate. For instance, this is what I think that we're the best at and which helps us just in the battle every single day. We know it's this marathon. I have a particular assembly person who decides to go to a fact-finding trip to Texas to find out why people and businesses have moved from California and moved to Texas. So, and this is a Republican, by the way. So my first thought is, are you crazy? Because literally you could have read any of the dozen-plus articles written on the subject. You could have picked up the phone. Heck, I'd have even gotten you in touch with the Tea Parties there to do this. But you thought it was important for taxpayer dollars to be spent, because we're flowing in money in California, to go to Texas. So I sat with
tacos.
Well, and I sat with this staff person yesterday. I spent all day at the Capitol yesterday meeting with six different elected officials and or staff. Rarely do they want to actually meet you. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle they're on. But I sat with the staff person and said, very politely, said, by the way, I really don't understand the whole fact-finding thing. I mean, I really, really hope this particular assembly person is not so stupid that they really didn't know. And if it's a publicity stunt, you better have paid for it by yourself. Because the fact is, I can't wait till I fly back home to tell all of our people who went on that tour and who paid for it. Because it is the dumbest thing I have ever heard, and everybody will know it. And I think that's where our job comes in, is that all this stuff that happens behind closed doors that they think nobody knows about, we're breaking down those barriers and we're sharing it, and that's all it takes. That's all it takes to make the American.
Sunlight tends to make roaches scatter. You know?
Right.
And that's what we. That's why they're screaming so loudly against the Tea Party. Linda, what you were asking about on the war thing with Libya, it's a very dangerous game to play. And I'm speaking totally political now, because, you know, I'm an idealist. I believe in ideas, but there's also the political reality of how things happen and how things are done. It's a very dangerous thing to snipe at a war, because you could very easily end up looking like you're against the troops. And it's a situation Democrats found themselves in with the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. You know, the Afghanistan War was the good war, because they were just wanting to hurt President Bush, and they were seen as that way. We have to be very careful. As stupid as this Libyan thing is, and as ineptly as it's being handled, we have to be very careful that in our complaints against the Libyan war, it's not turned and twisted somehow. And the media is good at doing this, to seem that we're against the troops and we're not supporting the troops. You pull funding for the war, you're pulling funding for the troops who are in harm's way. It's a very dangerous and risky game you have to play. And I don't know, this may be part of the reasoning behind it. Going into election season, I wouldn't put it past Barry that he would want to send troops to harm's way to bring Republicans and Tea Partiers out against us to make us look bad. It's the same thing with this birther thing. You know, George Stephanopoulos last Sunday was over the weekend was interviewing Obama or something. He said, "You actually seem to enjoy this birther thing. You know, Obama was laughing about the birther thing. Yeah, it makes us look stupid. You know, whether we are or not. I mean, the guy could have been born on Mars, but this guy is a genius at using things.
That's why it's so important what y'all are doing with the Tea Parties, which is disseminating truth and knowledge, because we are like locked in a vice grip. And it's like someone was telling me earlier, you know, all this things that's going on, she wonders if there's not, like you said, you know, it's just a smokescreen for something deeper. I mean, we're talking about nationalizing education, which, you know, if they can take over the minds of our children, they don't have to worry about, you know, having to fight Republicans in, you know, two more elections, because they would have changed the mindset of the young people growing up. They would be very liberal at the rate they're going. So that's the part of the thing that you're talking about. But I do think with the military, we at some point we're going to have to make a stand. And I thank God 2012 is coming around next year. The corner, and that's why people can't sit down. That's why it's so important today to be a part of the Tea Parties. And all this. Go ahead, Mr. Wayne.
I think it's turning, Don. It gets wearing because we get these small victories here and we have to compromise there. And we win this, but you know, I keep going back to what Washington went through. You know, there were. You've heard me say this before, Diana, and listeners have heard me say this before. There are many times in the Revolution. If you look at Washington's record, there were 13 major battles in the Revolution. Washington personally commanded in 11. He only won 3. Not a very good record. If he'd been a football coach, he would have been sacked. But Washington realized that until the British recognized our independence, we only had a country as long as we had a revolution, and we only had a revolution as long as we had an army to fight it. And so a lot of times he had to leave the battlefield that he could have won, but he left the battlefield because it was important to keep his army together to fight another day. And this is what we have to remember. Right now, we won our first victory in 2010. It was a partial victory because we still got a House of Congress and the White House against us. We can keep fighting these actions, keep bringing these votes up to put the Democrats on record where they stand. And if we play that right, for instance, this budget deal, you know, to the Democrats, Planned Parenthood is more important than our troops in combat. That says something about their priorities. If we fight this well and we fight this battle, we could get back both houses of Congress and possibly the White House in 2012. Then is when we hold the Republicans' feet to the fire, because then they can't say we're outnumbered in the branches of Congress. But we've got to hold the line. We've got to keep fighting. We've got to keep getting the word out, and we've got to push toward victory. I know I could just imagine how frustrated Washington was wanting that knockout blow, but he didn't get it till Yorktown.
Don, go ahead.
Well, fortunately for us, I think we, and I'm always amazed by this, to tell you the truth, especially here in California, that we have people still coming. We have new people joining groups. We have new groups starting. We have people who may have started out as foes become friends.
Yeah.
I think... you know, and I actually ironically get hassled every now and then by Christians because they don't think we're doing our part, that we're not taking on the social issues, which means that I must not be a good Christian, I can't serve two masters. And I generally, and it doesn't matter if it's the issue of, you know, what anything about my own Christianity or about anything else we actually do, is, you know, our testimony is every day what we get up and do. And the fact that more and more people are coming to these tea parties and belonging to these groups and understanding that we didn't get here overnight, we're not going to solve
exactly
it overnight.
Right.
But we
exactly
managed
right.
to do something. We managed to do something incredibly miraculous in just 2 years. And this is even baffling, you know, all of the pundits, because this has never been done. And the fact is, all we did is start talking to our neighbors again. That's all the Tea Party is. we started getting to know our neighbors again and sharing with them what we know. And then you had people, the most productive people, which is also the other thing they never wanted. You know, no administration wants not only for the populace to wake up, but have it be the populace who is the productive part of the country to wake up, because we're educated. We're not, you know, country bumpkins sitting out, you know, somewhere in rural America that we've never seen another human being or something. You know, these are every demographic you can think of. So, you know, everything we do every day is what it, I think what scares them.
I'll never forget when they tried to paint us when after the first Tea Party in 09, when they tried to paint us as a bunch of redneck, you know, illiterate, barefoot, you know, backwoods country bumpkins. And then they did a survey, and they did an actual survey of Tea Party exits. They found out that we tended to be above, you know, in our 40s. Late 30s, 40s, college educated, above average incomes, and then they tried to paint us as some sort of elitist group trying to hang on to what we have. I mean,
I said this just the other day to somebody. It's what's hysterical to me, and what is the huge difference between the left and the right, and it has always been true, but is never more obvious than now. The left tends to perpetuate whatever the soundbite is. They have no understanding of it. They have no understanding about the issue. But somebody said on CNN, blah, blah, blah. So they don't have any concept. You talk to a conservative, they know the subject inside and out, and that's what should be the thing that scares you. And the thing that I always find so funny is they think nobody communicates with each other either, that we don't all talk to each other. So they're consistently... They really have never figured out what Americans are about, period. They really have never figured that out. And the funniest part now is everything they throw at us about, oh, we're the rich, we're the ruling elite, we're the people that, you know, we're all middle, you know, upper middle class white guys, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I said this to somebody the other day. You know, the funny thing is all those things they're complaining about is the stuff that actually their administration has been supporting. Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, GE, all those fat cats you keep talking about are part of us. That's actually who your administration is keeping in business and keeps stealing from you.
Exactly right.
So,
exactly,
you know,
right.
What was the old saying? Oh, no, we have become them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The left hasn't figured out. Guess what, guys? You guys became them. You became everything you said we were fighting against.
Exactly
Well, guys, you know, time has flown. We just love talking to you, Dawn. Can you tell? And but I just want to remind, and Mr. Wayne will love this. Mr. Wayne, you know, April 19, 1775, and isn't that so ironic? You know, here we are fighting for this nation. We did that also, you know, back in 1775 with that shot heard around the world, and I think. After this, after the Tea Party rally in April, you know, we need to start fighting with our pen, with our blogging, and whatever. And, of course, always with prayer, just like George Washington did when he was there at Valley Forge, that beautiful picture that we see of a man. What a great man, Don, with such intellect. But yet, you know, he bent his head and bent his knees before Almighty God who heard him. And so we're going to close with that. We just love to close always because we know what the Founding Fathers knew. We know where our help comes from. So, John, if you don't mind, would you end us in prayer? I mean, don't worry about the time. It will just keep on recording us. So if you don't mind.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I always like to start any prayer with thanks for all I have in my life, for all we have as Americans, for all we have as Christians that come to your word and to your light. And then I would ask for guidance that we all remain continuing down that same path of light and working with your word to help change those that would govern us. And I always pray that somewhere the light shines on the president, all the people making the decisions that affect all of us, and even more importantly, all of our men and women serving here, abroad, our sons, our daughters, and just ask God's guidance and to keep holding us and keep showing us a path and keep us strong. I know you'll not give us more than we can handle, and we're just trying to, you know, do all we can. So if you could please give us the strength to continue that going into our tax day events and continuing on, we ask for all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Don. And listeners, please go to Chaplain Coney Smith's website. Join him in that petition. It's a small thing, but I'm believing it can make a huge difference. PrayInJesusName.org. And also, if you don't mind, Don, name your website.
Well, we have a new website now, and it is www.californiateapartygroups.org. That's where we have all of our tea parties that are up and down the state of California, where we're working together. So we have a lot of information on that, on various subjects that aren't just California-related, but are related nationally. So we'd love for people to come to that. And, of course, teapartypatriots.org. If you want to join a tea party, come on in. All you have to do is put your zip code in, and we'll find you the nearest tea party that you can join.
Oh, thank you, Don. And we invite the listeners to share the podcast of this show, www.cityonahill.tv. It's our website. Please let us know if you'd like to receive a newsletter. We're going to start a newsletter with our monthly a list of our guests. We would like to do this once a month so you know who's coming on and you can be sure to tune in. And then, you know, share it with your friends and family so that we can all learn together. And in closing, I'd like to give Mr. Wayne, I'd like to give you a chance to say some closing thoughts and then close us for today's program.
Well, just like to tell folks to keep you, be encouraged. You know, it was a hard fight to win our independence. We've been through struggles before. And as Ms. Dawn said, you know, it did take us overnight to get here. It took over 100 years of secular progressive moving and planning and scheming. And they were taking a step forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Incrementally, they got us to this point. Now, we've come a long way in 2 years. We have a long way to go, but we can't give up now. There's just too much at stake to give up. And the Lord tells us to just keep working until He comes. And that's just all I have to say on the subject. Most of it's already been covered, I guess. But we do not be discouraged. We can't change the world overnight, but we can clean up our little corner of it. And if we all do that, we'll be okay. God bless y'all. Have a good weekend.
God bless you guys.
Thanks. God bless you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the radio program.